Hey, this is Travis Bennett, the pastor here at Arena of Life Church, and I just want to welcome you to our podcast. I pray this builds your faith, encourages you, and brings you to newer levels in Christ. Enjoy the message.
If you have your Bibles, open them to Matthew chapter 5. Please stay standing for the reading of the Word. If you haven't been here, we've been on this journey of the Beatitudes, and I want to continue on that today. It says in verse 3, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." It says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." He says, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Everybody said, amen. Well, look at your neighbor this morning and say, "Merry Christmas." All right. Look at your other neighbor that was your second choice and say, "This message is for you." All right. Well, let's give our band a big round of applause this morning, the kids that sang this morning. I gave money away in the first service. I guess I'm going to have to give it away in the second service as well. I made a deal with them. Whoever sings the loudest, I'll make a deal with you. I'll give you some money. I didn't tell them how much, but I gave them a little coin. But I just want to welcome you this morning. So glad you're in the house of God. I want to tell you, this last week we left out Monday morning, been gone all the way through Saturday in San Diego, California. Picking up our son from MCRD, Marine Corps Recruit Depot. Noel, stand up for us. It's my boy here. He made it back home from, Love ya. He's now a Southern Baptist. Through boot camp, he had to go to, when they'd go to church on Sunday, the only one that fit him was Southern Baptist, but I told him he is not a Southern Baptist if you did not eat a potluck after the service. All right? All right, he said, "Dad, you screamed at me enough. The drill instructor screamed at me enough, and then I went to a Southern Baptist service, and they screamed at me there. So praise the Lord. I'm good. I'm happy to be here. Who's happy to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen. My heart is full, and I'm ready to receive just as you are this morning. So we've been on this journey of the Beatitudes, and I read a commentary this week. It's in Latin. It means blessedness. And those of you that haven't been here, maybe you're here for our Christmas service, I invite you back. We're having service this Friday night, Christmas Eve, at 5 o'clock. We'll have a candlelight service and a small message there. Bring your families. It'll be a great time to be here with us. And then Christmas Day, we're going to have service on, or no, Christmas, the day after Christmas, on the 26th. Many people are like, "We having service?" Well, it's Sunday. Come on, somebody. We're going to be in church. We're having one service. It'll be at 10:30, be combined together. So I want to invite you to that. But over this last couple of weeks, actually 6 weeks, we've been on this journey of the Beatitudes. And we're seeing this. He said, "Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are the meek. Blessed, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Blessed. And so he talks about all these different things and areas in our life, which blessedness is makarios in the Greek, and it means, it's like joy. But in the Greek also, it means hap. Joy means this. It means hap. It means happenings. And lots of times, and in the culture we live in today, we think that joy comes from the boat. We think that blessedness comes from having the house that's bigger than the neighbors or your friends. We think it's in the car. We think it's in the relationships or the clothes that we wear. But he's saying, really, joy comes from all those places that you wouldn't think to look. It comes from the one who's poor in spirit, meaning you're completely desolate without the Lord. How many of y'all know we have nothing if it wasn't for Jesus? And he said, you'll experience heaven on earth when you get the reality and revelation of that. He says that those who mourn, they shall be comforted. He said there's really a blessing that comes from mourning. There's really a blessing from those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And blessed are those who are merciful. How many of y'all know last week you had to remind yourself of blessed are those who are merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Tell me about it. I've been in California for a week. Come on, somebody. All right? And so we need to have mercy. And I'm telling you, hey, welcome. Good to have you guys. And so blessed, I'm sorry, I have ADD. I do take medicine, but it's not working this morning. But I need to be reminded of that. We live in a culture and a world today where everybody judge everything by the book, by the cover of the book rather than the heart. And today I want to tell you that this message is hard. I wish I could tell you that this was Luke chapter 2 and there was three wise men and angels are frolicking in the air. I'm going to tell you, I believe this is a Christmas present that we can give to our kids. And those that were in the first service, I believe they would agree with me that if you want a blessing in your home and if you really want to see God, there's some things in the message today from this text that can not only change your life, but the outlook and the blessing that will come over your family. And so I want to ask you this question. As we talk about these eight characteristics or these eight attitudes that the Bible, you could say nine, but I'm going to break it into eight. But I want to give you this question here. Who's ever been robbed before? You've been robbed from your home. Our very first home that Brandy and I had, we were robbed from there several different times, which was crazy. It was a very nice neighborhood that we lived in. But there was things that were taken from us. And can I tell you, there was things that went on. I remember thinking to myself through the, so a robbery means this. It's different from being stolen from. A robbery is when you are home and someone comes to your home and takes it from you while you're in your house. Things that have been stolen from you, they took it while you weren't even there. But either way, isn't it amazing? You have this feeling of, you know what, those things, I can get them back. Right? Maybe if it's not a family heirloom or things like that, but how many of y'all know things can come and go, right? As long as everybody's safe and everybody's okay. But there's still something about us when somebody steals or robs from our house, we have this sense of, I can't believe somebody came onto my property that I protect, that I love, that I've paid for, and they've taken something that I have a job. Get your own job and get it yourself, rather than having to steal from me. And I'm telling you, if I was there and somebody was trying to rob from me while I was watching, I promise you, I would be on them like a spider monkey. I may not have the Marine Corps killing machine inside of me, but how many of y'all know when emotions comes over you and something like that, it's nothing that your Smith & Wesson cannot handle. Praise the Lord. Can I get an amen from all the Texan believers out there? All right. And so, you know, you have, after you're stolen from, you're like, I dare them. I'll stay up in the middle of the night, and I promise you, there will be, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, right? We think we're like Wyatt Earp all of a sudden. And I think about mamas. I think about, like, how we protect our family. We protect our possessions. We protect our kids, do we not? And I've heard stories of like moms of how there's been accidents and kids have been under a car and how mamas have picked the car up. And God has called you and I as parents and as believers to be protectors, have we not? But, you know, as I've been thinking about this, this particular text here, where God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. We live in a culture today, or even here in America, and I can't speak for the rest of the world, but I think I can. We're applauded when we protect our families from physical danger, but we're made fun of when we protect them from moral and spiritual things. I'm going to say that again. Lots of times we're applauded and people praise us when we protect them from physical danger, but we're made fun of or we're talked about when we protect them from moral things and from spiritual things. Can I tell you, we're called to protect the purity of our kids' hearts. We are called as parents, and I believe this is a family message today because we're here to see our little ones sing and things like that, but I believe even as grandparents, we're called to protect the purity of their hearts. How many of y'all believe that today? If you don't, I hope by the end of the service you'll get that, because there's an enemy out there. And I've said this many times before already in this message, even if I'm not preaching on this, but John 10 and verse 10, he says that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But God comes to give life and life more abundantly. And I believe there is a thief out there. And if you don't know it, he's inside of our homes and he's trying to steal the innocence of our kids. He's trying to steal their trust. He's trying to take things from them that don't need to be taken. How many of y'all believe me today? And in Matthew 5 and verse 8 in the New Living Testament, he said, God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. But in the Passion Translation, he says, what bliss you will experience when your heart is pure, for then your eyes will open to see more and more of God. I don't know about you, but I want to see God. I don't know about you, but I want to see more and more of God. I've seen enough of the world. I've seen enough of the garbage of what it wants to give me. But I don't know. I'm in a place now in my life where I want to see God, more and more of God. And he said, blessed are those whose hearts are pure. This word heart here, it goes back to the Greek word cardia. And it's the inner self. It's the emotions. It's the feelings, or yet the attitudes of a person's life. He's not talking about this organ inside of your body on the left side that pumps blood through it. He's talking about your inner self, your emotions, your feelings, your attitudes. And how many of y'all know there's a saying that's out today that says this: his heart is good. He's got a good heart. What we're trying to do is justify the way they live to say that they have a good heart. Or she has a good heart. Like, he has a good heart. He lives in his mom and dad's basement. Right? Lives in a van down by the river and smokes weed for dinner. But he has a good heart. Right? Am I the only one who has said this before? I mean, he lives a different way. She's lost as a ball in high weeds. But you know what? She has a good heart. I'm just here to ask the question, does she really have a good heart? Even us, even as believers, we can say no all we want to. But can I tell you this, that you don't even have a good heart without Christ. See, without Christ doing heart surgery on you and me, we don't have good hearts. In fact, in Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10, the prophet says this: the human heart is the most deceitful of all things. How many of y'all believe that? How many of y'all have dealt with some in-laws and outlaws that have done some deceitful things? They may look good to all the neighbors, but you know the things that they do. Just come to one Christmas or Thanksgiving. You know, come on. Y'all looking at me judgmental like I'm the only family that deals with this. Right? It says this. It goes on and says, and desperately wicked. He's talking about the human heart. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts. We need to pay attention to this. And I believe this is true today. The Lord searches all hearts and examines secret motives. I give all people their due reward according to what their actions deserve. How many of y'all know whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap? Also, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18 and 19, Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus. He is actually addressing some Gentiles here. And he says this: their minds are full of darkness. Can I just go ahead and say to the church of America today is full of darkness? Can I just go ahead and be bold and say that? It's full of darkness. Can I tell you that the news is full of darkness? Can I tell you that there's places that even our kids go that is full of darkness? I was thinking about this text here, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And this last summer, we were at some caverns in South Texas. We went to Lake LBJ for the week. We do that every year with the kids, and we love that trip. Well, this time, it was raining one day, and so we went to some caverns. And our guide, he was hilarious. Some of y'all been on those guides before where you just have a guy that he's just so funny. He had all these facts about Texas and facts about this particular caverns. And when we went down to the bottom, he said this. Now, lean into this because I'm trying to prove a point. He said, before we go in, and this was discovered like it was before the Civil War. In fact, they found out that the bat dung in there, guano, it could be used in shooting guns in the Civil War. So they go scoop all this bat dookie out of there. and use it in their guns as gunpowder. And so before we go in, he says this. Now, everybody be alert. We're going into darkness. But don't be scared, because once you go into the darkness, your eyes will adjust to it. If I was a Pentecostal preacher, I would be slicking my hair back right now and saying, come on, somebody. But can I tell you, we live in a world today that we're in darkness, but our eyes have adjusted to it. How many of y'all believe our eyes have adjusted to darkness? I mean, the things we hear on the news, we're like, it happens. Our eyes should not be adjusting to darkness. I mean, I know we live in a terrible time, and the Bible says it's going to get even worse than it is right now. But we as believers, I believe that in the church, can I tell you this? I've been raised in a believer's home my whole life. I'm so thankful for it. I'm so thankful. In fact, we were standing in line there at the graduation, and the lady said, what do you do for a living? She goes, you're not from California. I said, you think? And she named it. She said, you're from Texas. I said, I am from Texas. She said, I could tell by the way you talked. And she said, what do you do? And I said, and my aunt goes, he's a pastor and a farrier. She goes, I don't know what a farrier is, but I know what a pastor is. And she goes, and this is my granddad, which is my father. And he's a pastor too. And dad was a pastor's kid, and I'm a pastor's kid. And she goes, let me guess, to my dad, said, I guess you're a pastor's kid as well. He said, no, it started with me. Can I tell you today, it can start with you. If you want a pure in heart, it can start with you. We can get to that in just a moment. But it goes on to say, minds are full of darkness. I believe we've come into a time where our eyes have adjusted to the darkness. And then it goes on to say in verse 18, they wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds, lean in here, and hardened their what? Hardened their what? Come on, say it again. Harden their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. Man, I know people like this. They live for lustful pleasures and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. He's talking to the people in the Beatitudes here. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. But in this one here, he's talking about people that have an impurity about them. So talking about our kids and parenting in the world today, you say, if I came to you and said, you know what you need to do is you need to put strychnine inside of your kid's bottle. What would you say? Absolutely not. I would never poison my kid. I would never let my kid swim in a pool full of acid. I wouldn't let them play out in the middle of an interstate. But yet we live in a world today that we do this. We give our kids a cellular device that can be connected to the worldwide nasty web. And can I tell you, I'm just as guilty of this. We give them iPads. Am I the only one? But we live in a society or a world where kids, you're at restaurants, and I'm not saying we're perfect and we've never done this, but my eyes were open to this a couple years ago, to where it's like every kid at a restaurant has to have something in front of them entertaining them. It's like, there's this great old-fashioned thing called talking. Like, we can communicate with one another. It's great. We can do that. Maybe I need to remind some adults out there that are looking inside of their cell phone at a restaurant, communicate. Your marriage would love it if you did it. But we wouldn't let our kids have a bottle of poison. We wouldn't let them swim in acid, but yet we'd give them a cell phone that has all the garbage of the internet on it. You know what we do? I was thinking about this. We pay to watch things that break the heart of God. And I'm guilty as anybody for it. And so I'm here to tell you this morning, I believe that our homes, thinking about it this Christmas season, our homes might not be walking in blessing because our hearts have been hardened and we've been darkened in our understanding. We've adjusted to the darkness. So I want to ask you this morning, how can we do things a little bit differently? And I want to give you three ways that I believe that we can. I would give you more, but these are things that God gave me this morning to share with you. How can we be different? Because we're not just going to be a Christian family. We're going to be a Christ-centered home. Right? How many of y'all know some people out there that are Christian families and they don't act like Christian families? All right, we're going to be a Christ-centered home because there is a difference between a Christian family and a Christ-centered home. I said it in first service, I'll say it again, or maybe I've already said it this morning. A 1988 believer is different from a 2021 believer. Because we've adjusted to darkness and we've let things in. I know pastors that say things that I can't believe the things that they say. They do things that I can't believe the things that they do. I know believers and pastors that they go out, they have drinks and mixed drinks that I don't understand. Because if they preach one funeral of a young man or a young lady that their life has ended because of drugs and alcohol, I'm telling you, they think a little bit different about it. I know this is a heavy message. Merry Christmas. There's really jolly down inside of here. But, and I believe you can leave here today and say this about your home, that he's not just a part of my family, that he's not just a part of our life, he is my life. He is my life. In Psalm 119, 9 and 10, it says, how can a young man cleanse his way? Pay attention here. How can a young man or woman cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. So by taking heed, you know, lots of times we have this saying, even today, I talked about a while ago that, oh, he has a good heart or she has a great heart. And there's times where people are saying, what you need to do is follow your heart. Can I tell you right now, I'll just be honest with you, I've been in counseling moments where people have followed their heart right into adultery. They followed their heart and made some of the worst decisions they've ever made. Can I tell you, your heart is corrupt from the things of this world? And so what he's saying right here, you don't need to be led by your heart, you need to be led by the word. Amen. I'm going to say that again, we don't need to be led by our heart, we need to be led by the word. Amen. How many of y'all believe that today? Yes. And so we need to live according to the word. You can't do whatever you want. Lots of times I see believers, I can do what I want, I can say what I want, I can smoke what I want, I can drink what I want. I can do whatever I want to do. I sound like a rapper this morning. Can I tell you, this is the Beatitudes. He's setting it up for 5, 6, and 7 of the kingdom of God, that you're no longer of this kingdom, but you're of a different kingdom. And he's saying you're wanting to walk in blessing, then you're going to have to do things a little bit different in this kingdom if you're going to see the rewards of having a kingdom type life in your life. And so he says, follow your heart. Or he doesn't say follow your heart. He says, live by the word of God. Can I tell you this? What you do today matters. Moms and dads, what you do today matters. Can I say it again? What you do today, it matters. Amen? The voice we are today, it matters. You don't build a life of righteousness on a foundation of sin. He's already paid the price, so quit living the way that you used to live. It's time to live a new life. And so we need to plant seeds of righteousness in our kids. And so here's three things that I want you to write down. How can we go against the flow? Because we need to create a culture inside of our home of purity in our homes, because it won't happen by accident. It won't happen by osmosis, all right? I'll be honest with you. I'm so thankful for my mom and dad. I'm thankful for how they raised me in my home. Pastor Brandy can say the same thing. And it's not going to happen by living in the way of the culture today. You're going to have to make some things, you're going to have to set some things in stone right now inside of our homes. Even you grandparents, you lean in. Even if you're 18 out there, I don't even have kids. Well, one day you will. And so you need to pay attention. Number one is this. How do we go into flow? Number one, work on you first. That goes with all of these Beatitudes. Work on you first. You know what we do lots of times when we think of a beatitude? We think, oh, this is for so-and-so. I'm sending this message to them. They need to be more meek. Amen? No, you work on meekness in you, and it'll rub off on them. And so work on you first. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, he said, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. He said, above all else, guard your heart. How many of y'all know, above all else, we've got to guard our heart? Parents, you've got to guard your heart. You can't expect for your kids to guard your heart if you don't guard your heart. He said, guard your heart. Don't let your conscience be your guide. See, in the book of Timothy, Paul talks, he addresses this young pastor here. He says, he talks about a conscience that has been seared as with a hot iron. I've heard people tell people, go with your conscience. I don't think that's a good idea. How many of y'all know some people that would be a very bad decision if they went with their conscience? I mean, you know, all of us in here, our conscience has been seared as with a hot iron in some areas. There's some things that you do in your life because you have no, you've just done it so long, you have no conscience to it. And so we don't need to be following our conscience. You know, I'll just give you a great example. If you're saying this, and I am guilty of this, we can't watch it until the kids go to bed. Y'all are looking at me so judgmental right now. I know you've done it too, right? Can I tell you, as I begin to study this out and I begin to read this, the Lord got all over me. We rationalize things. Like I've rationalized things, all that has is cussing. Oh, that's it? Oh, we're good. We're good until that goofy mare tries to stomp me into the ground. You know what comes out of my mouth? Those things that I'm good on. And then the preacher looks like an idiot in front of the customer he's been inviting them to church with for. Come on, I'm being very humble with you guys this morning. Y'all are looking at me all kinds of judgmental this morning. Hey, am I telling the truth? We rationalize things. Listen, if your kids don't watch it, you don't need to watch it. And I'm telling you, the Lord's got all over me about some things that I've put into me that I don't need in me. We rationalize things. We say, we pay money to be entertained by sin, don't we? Well, it's not. At least it's not me sleeping with her. At least it's not me making that goofy decision. It's just a TV show. That's all it is. It's just a TV show. Or we say this, but it's funny. Can I tell you, funny doesn't make things right? I knew I wouldn't get into too many amens this morning. Merry Christmas. Let's say it again. Happy Hanukkah. Whatever you need this morning, all right? So number one is this, work on you first. Let's say it together. I'm going to work on me first. I'm going to work on me first, all right? Number two is this. It's a heart issue. When we parent our kids, my wife always reminds me of this because there's been haircuts in our home that I don't like. That I did not win the battle on. All right? Now, it doesn't mean that I did not give them boys a hard time with the long hair because I did, because that's just what dads do, right? But here's the deal. Brandy always says this, we parent to the heart and not to the actions. Because if we just parent to the actions and their heart stays bad, then we've lost the battle. The Bible tells us this in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. If you have it again, put it up there. He said, but the Lord, so Samuel, he is picking the next king of Israel. And he's at Jesse's house. All the boys are in front of him. And the boys that Jesse, that fit the part, that look the part, that have the right muscles, that have the right guns, that have the right weapons, the ones that he thought they would have, he tells God speaks to Samuel and tells him this. He says, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature because I have refused him, for the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the... The Lord looks at the what? The Lord looks at the heart. Okay. So in the Old Testament, they said this, don't murder. They don't give an example. They don't do anything. But Jesus comes along, and he begins to parent to the heart, and he says this, don't even hate, because people that hate inside of their heart have committed murder inside. And so in the Old Testament, it says this, don't commit adultery. But Jesus, he parented to the heart, and he said this. See, it parent to the actions in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, Jesus comes along in a new covenant. How many of y'all thankful for that? And he begins to parent to the heart, and he says this. He says, even if you look lustfully at a woman, you've committed adultery already inside of your heart. The Pharisees, as he's talking to the Pharisees, he's telling the people, see, they look good on the outside. They say all the right things. They do all the right things. They have the right haircuts. They have all the right things going for them. But he says, it's not on the outside of the cup that defiles a man. It's what's on the inside of the cup that defiles a man. And we saw what was on the inside, especially when Jesus was being persecuted for telling the truth and being obedient to the word of God. And so in our life, you might have outward submission, but if you have inward rebellion, you're going the wrong direction. Like, can I give you an example of things that have happened in my home? Go apologize to your sister. Y'all are looking at me all kinds of weird. I'm telling you, I know it's happened in your house before. I'm sorry that you're a big, whiny crybaby, and what I said offended you. How many of y'all know that is not coming? It may have been coming from the heart, actually. But what I'm saying, on the outside, they were apologizing, but on the inside, it was still corrupt. Like, take out the trash. See, in their heart, you want them to be submissive, but you can hear them all the way to the trash can. It's like they're cleaning windows. I always ask them, is there a window around here? I will, with my kids. Is there a window? I just heard, I thought you were cleaning windows. I don't want to hear you breathing. Get a Tic Tac, son. And then from there, you know what I do? I go to the bedroom. We break out the word of God. Proverbs 22:15 says, rebellion is in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction. You want to get rid of the huffing and the puffing that will blow the house down? I'm telling you, it works every time, or it does in my house. But you've got to be consistent with it. I'll say that. You've got to be consistent with it. So here's the deal. You might have outward submission, but if you have inward rebellion, you're going the wrong way. So can I tell you, let's as parents, as grandparents, let's parent to the heart rather than to the actions. You guys getting something out of the word this morning? Because the right actions come out of the right heart. Here's the third thing this morning. So we're going to work on us first. It's a heart issue. We're going to parent to the heart. Number three is this. We're going to pursue perfect purity of the heart. We're going to pursue after it perfect purity. There's no way that we can do that. I understand that. But if I didn't put perfect there, it wouldn't be purity. Are you getting me this morning? I mean, thank God for God's grace. Thank God for God's mercy. And I need it on a daily basis. But you know what I'm going to pursue after? You know what is going to be on my mind is pursuing after perfect purity of the heart. And so we're going to pursue because we can't achieve this on our own. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3, John, if you want to go ahead and come and play. Play us like Jingle Bells or something like that. It's hot in here. It feels a little heavy. He says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3, I'm kidding, by the way. I hope you know that. He said, but among you, there must not even be a hint, not even a splash of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed because these are improper for God's holy people. Can I stretch you and tell you, as believers, God has called us to be holy, set apart. You know, it's like this right here. You know what it says? It says the Holy Bible. Can I tell you, this book right here is set apart from every other book. I love that movie, The Book of Eli, with Denzel Washington, where he says, it's after the post-apocalypse where everybody's gone. And they ask him, what is it that this guy has? What is it about this book? He said, that book... It contains power. Can I tell you the reason that this book contains power is because it's holy. It's set apart from every other writing. It's the holy writ. It's the word of God. So we're going to pursue after it. He said a hint of sexual immorality or any kind, or a hint of impurity or a hint of greed or a hint of improperness for God's holy people. So I'm going to ask you the question. So we think lots of times we live in a society or a culture like this. They just think, well, I just slept with one. Y'all think one is adultery? Yes or no? Yes. Whether it's one or it's 75. But can I go on to say even the hard issue of this? And I believe God has forgiveness. I believe we serve a God that forgives us as far as the east is from the west. But I'm trying to paint a point of picture this morning of we've got to have perfect purity, meaning this. Even a hint. Lots of times we think, oh, those are the bad ones. But yet, we'll even scroll through TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, emails. Sometimes I realize that it's innocent. You come across those things. There's a group of men that I've met with. And can I tell you this? It's innocent when you see it the first time. It's like the story of David and Bathsheba. It was innocent when he saw her splish splash. I was taking a bath. I don't. But when it became sin was when he returned to the balcony and stared. What I'm saying is lots of times we think that, well, I mean, it's not pornography because she has clothes on. Well, she might have, you know, there might be more aspirin, might be more cotton in an aspirin bottle than on her whole body, but it's not pornography. But he's saying in the scripture, not even a hint. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? Like lots of times we justify things. Make it right. Well, it's not this, it's not that. But I'm here to tell you, even a hint. See, I'm trying to help you parents this morning. Maybe you're not experiencing blessing inside of your home. It's because there's hints of darkness in your life. There's hints of darkness. He said, you want to see God? Have a pure heart. And can I just be completely humble with you this morning? I'm here to repent as much as you are. There's been some hints in my life on TV shows that I've watched. Things, I'm telling you, if anyone is at this altar, it's me. Because I want to see God. You know, I told this story in the first service, and I've shared this in youth for years, and this is a great analogy. Of the boy that comes to mom and says, hey, we want to watch this movie. And she looks at the ratings and looks at the back of it and says, oh, she goes, I don't think this is a good movie to watch. She goes, come on, mom. My friends already watched it. And there was just a hint of cussing, just a little hint of sexual things. But you know what? We're in high school now. We've heard all that. We've seen all that. We know about all that different stuff. So it's not that big of a deal. So mom says, well, let me think about it. And you know the story. Maybe you haven't heard it, but if you have, hear it again. She goes to the kitchen, begins to make cookies. And she looks out and sees the dog mess from the schnauzer. Goes and gets some dog dookie there, brings it, and puts it, just a hint, and puts it inside the cookies and says, boys, I tell you what, before we watch that movie, let's have some cookies. And said, all right. They come in and said, before you eat these cookies, you need to know this. That Fluffy's dog dookie, there's just a hint of it inside the cookies. I hope that's okay. Said, no, we'd never do that. We'd never eat that. That is disgusting. That's wrong. She said, you know what? Just even a hint of this darkness in your life. It's disgusting and it's wrong. Can I tell you, the culture of the world today would tell you, you know what? It's okay. Everybody does it. Everybody. Everybody does it. But what he's trying to paint a picture here, he's saying, you want to see God? How many of y'all want to see God answer prayer? How many of y'all want to see God use you? How many of y'all want to see your children come back to the land of the living? How many of y'all want to see your kids loving righteousness? How many of y'all want to see those things? How many of y'all want to see His power working mightily in your life? How many of y'all want to see lay hands on the sick and see them recover? How many of y'all want to see the goodness of God? I'm telling you, I do. I do. In Ezekiel 36, He said, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. Keep that on the screen there. But among you, there must not even... Oh, no. Where's Ezekiel? You got that one? Here's what it is. He will take your heart of stone, He'll give you a heart of flesh. When I was a kid in children's church, they used to do this deal growing up. And they would have this guy, he would be laid out on a table and there would be a sheet in front of him. And the doctor would come in, that, you know, it was a skit deal. I grew up in a great children's church where they had all these skits. But the doctor would come in and he'd say, you know what, what's your symptoms? And the person laying there would say, I'm offended. I'm mad at so-and-so. Or, I can't get over what so-and-so did to me. I can't get over what happened to me when I was a little boy or a little girl. I can't get over those things. He said, you know what you need? You need a new heart. And of course, they would have jackhammers back there behind. They'd go through all this stuff. And they'd say, no. It's simple as this. Just ask Jesus to come live inside of you. And He'll take your heart of stone and He'll give you a heart of flesh. Can I tell you, it does a difference even to your outward appearance. Because it's not what's on the outside that defiles a man, it's what's on the inside. Listen, if you're so worried about how you look, do something inside of here. Amen. Come on, I know this is a heavy word this morning, but I'm just going with it. The Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Jim, is this not a word for today? It's a word for today. Roger, is it not a word for today? It's a word for today. It's for us. And I wasn't going to stop the cycle just because it's Christmas time. Let's give a gift to our kids of having a pure heart and letting them see God in us. So if you're out there and you need a new heart, there's no better day than today to do heart surgery on you. He'll take your heart of stone and He'll make it a heart of flesh. He'll do it for you this morning. With every head bowed and with every eye closed, and you said, you know what, Pastor, that's me. I can honestly say that there's sin in my life that has separated me from God. The Bible tells us this, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that He died on the cross and on the third day rose again, He come live on the inside of you. The Bible tells us that sin separates us from God. The Bible tells us that sin, as a result, ends in death. The road to the world is open, but the road to God is narrow. It's easy. You got to admit that you're a sinner. Number two, believe that He died, He was buried, and on the third day rose again. The third thing is this, confess Him as your Lord. The Bible says He'll forgive you as far as the east is from the west. He will take your heart of stone and He'll replace it with a heart of flesh. I'm telling you, it's the best heart surgery that any man, any woman could go through. If you're out there and you say, Pastor, that's me. I've never prayed that prayer of salvation. I've never asked Jesus to come live on the inside of me. Today's your day. Today is your day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. So if that's you out there and you say, you know what, Pastor, that's me. Maybe you haven't prayed that prayer, but number two is this. Maybe you've drifted away. You haven't been serving God like you need to. third one, I'm going to pray something totally different here. But if you're one of those two, show me your hands this morning. If there's anybody in here that you're away from God, maybe you've never met the Lord. Today is your day. Who is it? Is there anybody? Is there anybody? All right. Here's the third one. Everybody look at me. How many of y'all are just going to be honest and say, you know what? My eyes have adjusted to the darkness. Just be honest. Raise your hand. Mine have. Mine have. Hey, let's have a pure heart. Let's have a pure heart. It's my heart's desire to have a pure heart because I want to see God. Lord, I pray for these right now in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that even right now that you're giving them a way of escape, a plan of action, God. Lord, I pray that as they begin to fulfill that, and as they begin to be obedient to the word, I pray that they would see God. Lord, see it in their family. See it in their finances. See it in the relationship with their spouse or loved one. I pray that they would see it. Lord, show yourself evident to us. This Christmas holiday, may we as parents, may we as grandparents, even the young people in the room, Lord, as we begin to pursue after righteousness, pursue after a heart of purity, show yourself evident. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for joining us. We want to thank all of you who give to our ministries here at AOL Church. It's because of you that all of this is possible. You can give now by clicking the link below. And if you haven't already, subscribe and share this message. It helps us reach more people and share the gospel through you. Be sure to stay connected to us through our Church Center app, our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, and follow us on social media like Facebook and Instagram. May the Lord bless you and keep you. His face shine upon you, be gracious to you, and give you peace. Thanks again for listening. Go and make a difference today.